the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
He'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is here.
Stamatiak, Bisiak, wrap around a 10, break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Into the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, the Joe Schott Hour is on live on this Monday morning. And we encourage you to get your questions in for Coach. We've already have quite a few questions all lined up for later on in the show. But if you do have a question for Coach, email it to us, dj@themix93.com. Head Coach Joe Schott is with us today in our studio as we get set to talk about the Winter Carnival weekend. It was a tough weekend in Huskies. Very easily could have had 6 points. And unfortunately, we ended up with only 1 point on the weekend. And just felt kind of empty, Coach, after Saturday night's overtime loss.
Yeah, it was tough to go out. I wanted to make sure I showed my face. We had some great events. There was a nice event hosted by President Kubek. I was up watching the. I remember last year how fun it was to go up after the Bemidji win on Saturday night and go up and watch the torch run and the fireworks. And it was more somber for me personally this weekend. But you have to. Those are things that you have to do. You have to face the music and I'm proud of the effort that our guys put in. It's actually the first weekend in a long time where I felt that we've grown. We've improved we took that week off, to kind of restructure some things, to reestablish accountability factors and things. And we saw growth. So I'm not going to come out of it with negatives.
Well, we got outplayed, I guess you could say, on Friday night. I thought we certainly played as good, maybe even a little bit better than Minnesota State on Saturday night. Had a lot more scoring opportunities, it appeared, and just again, some bad timing on some bad plays and a late penalty hurt us again.
Yeah, that's Friday night. We put ourselves in a position to win the game. I would say that we were outplayed in the game. But as the game went on, we got better and we were absolutely in a position to win the game and goalie out. And when you think of it in perspective, the way I think of it, you get down to a minute left in the game. You have a shift and a half is all you need of perfect hockey. A shift and a half. 40-second shift on the average. You need a shift and a half to bear down, do everything right, get through that game. Saturday night's game, you get down to 5 minutes left or so, you have 8 shifts total, to play perfect hockey. So that's 2 shifts per line to be at your best, to be focused and be at your best. We have trouble doing that. We've shown we have trouble doing that. And on Saturday, the encouraging part is, we stood toe to toe with the number 6 team in the country. Scoring chances were actually relatively even. In the game. So I think you said it right. We didn't dominate them by any means. I think they're used to dominating teams. So they felt maybe a little bit different that they were in a hockey game anyways. And that's good. But really in all sense and purposes, scoring chances were relatively even in the game. They probably had a little bit better quality of scoring chances, because of their skill level and their ability to get to the net. But the great thing, we didn't allow a scoring chance in the third period until that 5 minute major. We were totally in control in the third period on Saturday night until we took that 5 minute major at the end of the game. We were managing the game well. We did have some power plays of our own in there that we could have ended it. We could have ended the game and weren't able to dig down and get it done. And they got their power play and were able to tie the game. They got a power play at the end of the second period, their first of the game, and they were able to get back from 2-0 down to 2-1 before the period ended. So, difference in teams, difference in where programs are at right now. But again, they're the number 6 team in the country. That's not by accident. They find ways and they expect ways to win these games. We've been there before, and if we do things the right way, we'll get back there again.
Board over. One-timer by Helen. It didn't get all of it. Saved by McKay. Wrapped around. Swarrier's got to get over there in time. He does. Holds it in. Up top for Ford. Over for... Scores! Brian Helen from the left side! A power play goal on the one-timer! And Michigan Tech breaks the scoreless tie. 1-0 Huskies. Well, Hallinan with that goal gets the first goal of the game on Friday night on a great one-timer. He had that one-timer right before that, as you hear, that they made a save on or didn't get through. And second opportunity, boy, he had a great shot. That was
He did. He's leading us in scoring. We have a number of freshmen doing an excellent job for us, and it's a big focus of what we're trying to accomplish here. And we'll probably talk. I'm sure I'll have some questions on things. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that foundation we're trying to build as we go forward.
But he seems to be more and more comfortable on that left side right now, Coach.
Yeah,
Brian.
On the power play. Our power play was good on the weekend. I thought overall we had 14 shots on Saturday on the power play. That's a lot of our offense came on a power play. So getting more pucks to the net, got to find ways to get at that traffic and do some things in there. But we're figuring out our personnel more and changing things around and really not going on so much on people that we think will do things, and we're really trying to just focus on guys that are actually getting things done. So, it seems to be working for us.
On the power play, Brian gets his ninth of the season. Keegan Ford and Colin Swoyer get the assist that came at the 4:24 mark of the third period. That was the first goal of the game, and then the Huskies, with about 2:24, I think, we had a defensive zone faceoff. Coach Hastings takes his timeout, pulls the goaltender, and it wasn't until about 55 seconds left that they tied the game. Now back up top, Smolik. Shot! Blocked by the Huskies! Retzman will clear it, can't get it out! Stolen away, down low, here's a chance, scores! Oh, the Huskies had a chance to clear it down, and then they tied it up. Minnesota State with 54 seconds left with the extra attacker and a brilliant shot taken by Jaremko. Well, Coach, explain to everybody your view on exactly what happened there. We hear the shot was blocked. It looked like we had a chance to clear it, but there looked to be some commotion as far as skates being in the way of where the puck was. Did that factor in at all to us not being able to get it out as soon as we wanted it to?
Well, we hit somebody. I mean, there's really not a lot you can say with that. My message to the team on Saturday was plain and simple. We put a lot of things in place to create a overlap, to create a layering of defensive of responsibility. We've really emphasized and put accountability into that side of our game by necessity. But the reason we've had to do that is because we've had a difficulty in getting the accountability factors in place individually to make things happen, to make the right play. So we've had to make sure that we're really good on all of our systems within the game to make up for some of our lack of attention to tactics. And really the tactics are that ability to do your job one-on-one. We had a great opportunity on that play to clear the puck, total control, and we went for an empty net, and the first thing that the opposition is going to do is they're going to get in that lane to block the empty net, which is what happened. We put it right on their stick, and they had a guy hanging out down low and quickly, and that's a good team. They took advantage of that. And like I said, we had to get through another shift or another shift and a half of perfect hockey. We were doing a great job, but we went for that. We went for the gusto. If we don't make it, it's an icing. The faceoff comes back in our zone. On those plays, you have to be intelligent. And if you don't see it, you can't make hope plays. Hope plays will kill you. And it should have been just cleared out of the zone. And it's a lesson learned by a young player, but we've really learned a lot of hard lessons on turning team hockey into individual hockey. Again, on Saturday with the 5-minute major, turning team hockey and really making a bad result out of it. And, you know, I think that's karma, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, however many lessons we have to learn before we get over it, it's not, you know, we can't take everybody out of the lineup. You know what I'm saying? We have to just keep building that foundation and make it matter enough, which is what we've been talking about from day one. It has to matter enough. Every play in the game matters. And we've gotten burned by plays over and over this year with games on the line that have turned into individual miscues that are not system oriented, and those we have to hold accountability to that and make our standard higher, and that comes from within the individual.
So just to go back to the play again, what the player should have done instead of trying to go up the middle is just send it over to the boards?
Yeah, well, he went for the empty net. Okay. He tried to end the game, but he didn't see the opening. He just turned around and threw it, gotcha, to hoping that their D were split, and their D weren't split. They were covering the middle, and it went right to them, and they made a play to a guy at the net who turned and fired it in, made a great shot. We were within, 56 seconds of having our third consecutive shutout. That's how tight we were, and that's how well we played. So, we just have to learn and get better.
Ends up going to a shootout. We lose in the shootout, but it goes down as a tie in the NCAA books. And final shots, 37-22 after the regulation overtime. 37-22 in favor of Michigan State, Minnesota State, and a 1-1 overtime tie. Tough one for the Huskies to only take 1 point, but they would go for the three more points on Saturday night in the trying to get the win against Minnesota State, and it started off pretty good. But I want to go back to Friday night's game one more, and that big save that Jerusik made. And the Huskies able to hold it in. Nice play by Sawyer, but a bouncing puck got away from Jackson, who will try to hurry up and make a line change. Bad change by the Huskies. Here comes French across the line. His shot in. Blocker save made. Big rebound is right there. Kick to the front of the Husky goal. Here's a shot. Bouncing puck. Oh, what a save by Jerusik. Oh, my gosh. The game was over. The game was over. And Jerusik just made the most unbelievable save.
Well, how good of a look did you get at it?
Great look. Great look. You said it all. Bad line change to start within overtime. And then Juju was forced to make an absolutely incredible save and give us a chance to get extra points. So my hat's off completely to him. He did a great job.
All right. So let's go to Saturday night's game. The Huskies and the Mavericks again, not scoring in the first period. We go to second period action.
Steven hustling down there, gets possession and swings it back to the blue line where Sawyer will pick it up and gives it off the floor. Huskies on the power play here, trying to break the scoreless tie. 44 seconds left in the man advantage. Back, Ford with scores! Keegan Ford with the shot from the point and launched it in. Was number 8, Dylan Sabin, who got the redirect, I believe. And Michigan Tech gets their second power play goal of the weekend, 1-0.
I know we talked a little bit about this after the game, but I really like the way Keegan Ford threw the puck at the net all weekend long.
Yeah, we did. Our power play did a good job, kept it simple, and we got 14 shots on goal on the power play on Saturday night. That's much better efficiency. It wasn't as perimeter. And I've said before, you can tell a lot of the way we're playing by watching two things with us, our faceoffs and our power play. If our power play is dancing and is perimeter and is not trying to attack and penetrate, those guys that are on the power play are also the guys that are, you know, they're playing 5-on-5 for us that are go-to guys. They're our top end skill type guys. You know, you look at Parker Toomey for Mankato. He had 13 shots himself on the weekend, 7 one night, 6 the other. They're top end guys, you know, attack, make things happen. They're the difference makers in hockey games. So you'll find out a lot. We got 14 shots on goal, and it's no, you know, you could tell we played a good hockey game. We stood toe to toe with the number 6 team in the country. Anybody's hockey game, great hockey game in all aspects of it. Had the lead, built a 2-0 lead. But a lot of it, you can tell by the intensity of our players, by the way they perform on the power play.
We got another power play goal in the second period on Saturday night.
Smith will settle it down. Huskies will finally be able to set this up. Shot through, bouncing puck, rebound was right there. Nisiak could not haul it in to put it in the open net. Donahue again with a shot. Score! Time by Nisiak.
It seemed like good puck movement on that one too, Coach. And Misiak had that opportunity just before that, wasn't able to haul it in, but got the redirect.
Yeah, we saw the guys in front of the net. We went for them, and those are good goals. They did the same thing. They got a goal. You're going to probably play it shortly after, where they did the exact same thing, got the puck through. We actually deflected it in. We didn't get the block and deflected it in our own net. But, that's hockey. You know, you have to see the plays. You have to read what's going on. You can't be programmed. You know, we have so many guys that'll come and really cover themselves a bit. You know, something will happen. They'll come and they'll say, what did you want me to do in that? And we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what to do in that. You know, this game is stat. You have to make a decision and live with your consequence. And we drill in practice so that you make the best decisions. With all the information you have, you have to process information extremely quickly. Tom Brady is so good because he processes it and knows the different looks that he has to see and checks it down, quickly and makes the play and ultimately makes the right plays, enough of the right plays at the right time to win a lot of football games. It's the same thing in hockey. How are they covering? Are they in this look? Are they in that look? A lot of it comes from experience. A lot of it comes from attentiveness. A lot of it comes from learning the game and studying and being a complete hockey player. And we made some really good reads that got the puck into areas where we could score some goals.
They did come within one as they scored at the 19:08 mark with less than a minute to go in the second period. Mark Michaelis with the redirect.
For Michigan Tech back on the blue line on this kill. Bringing it in to Jeremko. Good speed. Takes it behind the net. Jeremko all the way back up top for Toomey. Toomey slides it over. Shied for Toomey. One-timer scores! Tipped in front. And that will be a power play goal late in the period. And the Huskies lead cut in half 2-1. On a redirect by Michaelis in front of the goal.
And we go to the third period. They tie the game up also on the power play.
Shied, Toomey, down low. Gerard, up top for Toomey again. Power play, shot, save, rebound, loose puck behind, they score and tie the game up. It got through Jerusik and was finally put in across the line, and that is goal number one on the power play, and the Huskies will not be able to even things up, of course, with the major penalty against Seamus Donahue.
So talk about those two goals, Coach. What didn't you like, obviously, other than the goal? Were we not getting out there to block shots, or what was it?
Well, everybody did the right thing. I think Matt would like to have that shot back. What happened was that shot, wrist shot from the point, got through him, snuck through him, and just parked itself a little bit behind him. They were into a 2-3, kind of a 2-3 look on the power play, which split our defenseman in front of the net. So we weren't able to get to the guy in the middle quick enough who just, I mean, it was a bang bang play. It got through Matt, just kind of trickled behind him. If we would have been able to get in, or if he would have been able to lay back, but it happened so quick that their net front man reached over behind and put it in the open net. So there's no faults on that goal. It's just good power play work by a really good team, that isolated the look that they wanted and got the bounce that they wanted in front of the net and had a guy there that could make his play. So there's nothing I didn't like on that. In reality, I believe they had one other scoring chance on that 5-minute major. They had that one, that goal, and the first shot really isn't a scoring chance. It's but the goal is when they get the rebound behind us, and then after that one scoring chance on that 5-minute major. So our guys did a tremendous job. Really, they were 2-for-3 with that 5-minute major on the power play. But even the first one, we had the look we wanted. They gave Michaelis the goal, but I'm quite certain in looking at the replay that the goal was deflected off of Donahue in front of the net, on the first one. So we did a really good job. They just made opportune plays on the penalty kill. We didn't get a block on a couple of them, but, our guys, I thought, did a good job. They're just a good hockey team. They're gonna score goals. They score a ton of goals. We held them to 5 total on the weekend. Actually 4 on the weekend, one being a shootout goal, right? So, we held them to 4 goals against on the weekend. That's a pretty good effort, a tremendous effort. Extremely proud of a ton of guys this weekend and how they played and how they grew. And like I said, I'm extremely happy. This is the first time in a long time I felt our team has got better. We revamped with the week off. We took full advantage of it. We went after it. We really changed a lot of things. We did a lot of things differently. And, I like the growth that we had on the weekend. We have a lot of young guys. We were led in shots on goal by our young guys, by a lot of ways by our freshmen. So those guys in hard ice getting in hard traffic. So I'm happy with the growth of our hockey team. I think right now I feel, you know, we got to follow that up. But if we could continue to get better, we're going in the right direction. Where there's been weeks recently where I haven't felt we've gone in the right direction, but I think we have more people buying in and getting on board.
Coach, if you look at, as you look at that second goal that they scored, did Matt think that he had it underneath him?
I would say that he probably did. I think what happened, it hit him right, it looked to me like it hit him right in the breadbasket and trickled down and kind of got, you know, down in between his legs area and probably hit the back of his leg or something and just kicked in a little bit behind him. So he probably thought he had it. I had it swallowed up, but the puck found eyes, and you know, that's the breaks of the game. You know, he played a tremendous game for us, just like the winning goal in overtime. It's a puck he's in position on, and it just kind of a quick redirect snuck through his legs, and those things happen. You can't close it up quick enough. They have guys driving the net. They do so many little things well that they force you to be as close to perfect as you can, and you can't ask for more than that. That's what you have to get better. You don't get better playing against teams don't, you know, every team challenges us. Let's be realistic on it. But the teams that you have to be as close to perfect are the ones that make you better. And we want that as much as we can because we're trying to build a program here that's not hoping, that goes in expecting to perform and to do well and to come out with success and not beat itself. And so they find ways and they do the little things that make things happen, and we have to do that. So they're great lessons for us.
So that tied the game up in the third period at the 15-17 mark. The Huskies, though, did a great job after that, remaining on the penalty kill to keep them off the board and force overtime. We go to overtime and we go to a minute 45 in with the game opener by Connor Mackey. Huskies win the draw, pass up to Gould as it skates, and that turns the puck over. Michaelis across the line. Huskies trying to stay right up on him. Chance for Gerads. Pass to the front, they score! Tipped in by number 2, Mackey, in between, and they will win it in overtime here tonight. So a 3-2 final in overtime. As I watched that replay over and over again, Coach, and I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't know already, but as from a fan, just seeing when that puck was turned over, 4 guys from Minnesota State just barrel back towards our net.
Yeah, and a D's driving the net for them.
Right.
We made 3 bad reads on that play. Three mistakes on that play that resulted in the goal. It starts out with the turnover at the blue line. We also have a player in position should be underneath that, supporting that from underneath, that got caught too high on the coverage. And then when they entered the zone, we had 2 guys really go after the same guy, which allowed Mackey to get through a seam. Again, that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to make it. We have so many things that we've put in place, again, to have overlying support. We do so much D-zone entry, so much work on D-zone entry and forcing turnovers that can do the exact same thing, transition the puck the other way. You have to bring that into the game and make the right plays at the right time, and not let it burn you. And we got burned on it. We made 3 mistakes on the same play. I was very upset with myself, to be honest with you. After the game, I should have come out with a different line. We had Russell's line that was doing so well throughout the weekend. And that's one thing we haven't mentioned. Friday night, we lost, in my opinion, a big part of our heart, our hockey team, in Ray Bryce. Ray Bryce epitomizes, and I've said it, I haven't hit it, everything of what we want a Michigan Tech athlete to be, in every aspect of what he does. And he took a shot. He's got an upper body of forearm injury that he took a shot. He still played. That came with about 3.5 minutes gone in the third period on Friday. He still played after that. We still had him out in the end of the game after that. And he's out for the season. And that is a huge loss for us. But his line mates and him on the weekend did an absolutely incredible job. And I should have actually had that line on the ice in that critical time and did everything I could to get us into that second part of the overtime so that we could at least gain that point. I was playing for offense and trying to put a line out that I thought could create some offense for us and give us a chance to win that game outright. I felt we needed the points, and you know, I feel that's a mistake on my part. You can only go to that well so many times and come out with a broken heart. So, you know, from this point on, we'll do things a little bit differently. But we really had three players on the ice there that made poor decisions that it resulted in a goal against.
What were your thoughts on Marcus Russell's first two games of the season, Coach?
What more can you ask? And the reason being, we get into we're after a standard of play, and I'm going to reward guys with the standard. My thing to Marcus for so long was been, Marcus, you get yourself into a position where we want to use you, and then you drop off and don't step up and have at the critical time have a great practice. He started doing that. He puts extra time in the weight room. He puts extra time in studying, and I thought he played tremendous for us at the center ice position, which is a hard position to play. We've had some other players we've tried there that haven't given us much, and so we put him in there, and they did everything I could ask. Marcus Russell was on the ice for one. That line was on the ice for one scoring chance against the number 5 team in the country, one of the top offensive teams in the country, one scoring chance against with regular shifts in two hockey games. They did an absolutely incredible job. Now, Pogge was on the ice for some scoring chance against, but they were on the penalty kill. But that line, as a line, one scoring chance against, they gave us momentum. They got faceoffs in the offensive zone. They didn't get penned in our zone. Another thing I thought was very positive, I thought our defense did an excellent job Saturday night breaking us out. We didn't have those sustained offensive zone pressure that Mankato was able to have on Friday night. And a lot of Mankato's chances on Friday were multiple, where they got it in the zone, they had one or two guys beat two or three guys, and then they turned that into two and three opportunities. That was the difference in the game. Saturday, they got those first chances at times. They didn't get the redundancy off of that. I thought our defensemen did a great job of breaking us out. I thought our forwards did a good job of making right plays and not turning the pucks over on breakouts. So there were a ton of positive things that we can work on. And again, it came down to some individual mistakes that cost us, and we just have to, again, hold accountability. We sat out a very good player in Tommy Parentino on Saturday just for that reason, because there's a standard that we want, and I'm not going to let our young guys shortcut that standard. I think we've done that a bit in the past, and that's why we're having those mistakes by upperclassmen now that really hurt us in a big way, because they've been allowed to get by. And it's always going to come back and bite you. It's always going to come back. If you shortcut, it's going to come back. And the best chance you have to teach the standard that you want is early. The best chance you have, I think, to teach a child is when it's born, is in that first few years of this is acceptable behavior and this is not, you know, and the best way to teach a dog, you know, is in that first, when you first get it, what can it get away with? What can the animal not get away with, you know, when you're training? I think it's the same thing with the players. We've had players that have been able to not hold a standard here, you know, and to get by without it. And we're not going to let that happen to our young guys, because they're going to be going forward. Those are going to be guys that are going to be on the ice in critical times. I don't want those guys to let us down in critical times. I want them to have total understanding, total buy-in. And if they can't, I'd rather know it sooner rather than later, so it comes back and haunts us.
And going back to Ray Bryce, as you mentioned, I didn't know that he had hurt it early in the period after the game. But he also blocked it blocked that last shot, I believe,
exactly.
At the same area.
Same area. Yeah. And that's Ray Bryce. Yeah. That's where you're saying that. He blocked one early in the third. Last minute of the game, he blocks another one, gets down there and gets hit in the same arm on another shot. That's Ray Bryce. He's never going to break your heart. Ray Bryce is never going to break your heart. If your expectations are right now, and he's got like 8 points on the year, like he did, he had a good year. I think he can get up to 15 points with what he does. Is he doesn't try to do things that are outside of what he is. He's learned not to do that. He's learned to recognize where, what he can do, what he can't do, play within the confines of the structure and be accountable. And he's what we're all about. He's a guy that's going to wear a letter here. You know, I look at other guys like Todd Killinen the same way. Todd Killinen played, I mean, absolutely incredible this weekend. Absolutely incredible. And the reason being, he's a man. You know, he's never going to back down. He's never going to back down. He's going to do everything he can to win battles. He understands what limitations he has. He'll grow and he'll improve on those limitations. He's still only a 20-year-old kid, I believe. I mean, he's still extremely young to be playing at this level. He came in as a true freshman right out of midget hockey. So the growth in him's been exceptional, and these character guys are what you build on. And that's what we want them to be leading our way in a standard on and off ice behavior, holding others accountable, and we're going to reward that standard.
All right, let's take a break. We've got more coming your way, including we'll start some of your questions. DJ at themix93.com. It is the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results? Game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Super savings at your favorite party store of the North, Bucko's Party Store, and they do have it all. All 6-pack 12-ounce canned beer is on sale all month long. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Canada Dry brand 1 liters are 99 cents. Need a deal for parties and meals? Bucko's has Mix and Match Red Baron and Jack's Original Pizzas on sale, 3 for $11. Stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca Gear, all on 5th Street in Calumet. All this and more at Bucko's, your one-stop shop and vape headquarters of the North. All sales do not include taxes and deposits. At Bucko's Party Store of Calumet.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawrence today or call us at 906-524-6330.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Burgers are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No.
Sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
We are back with the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ on a Monday morning. Let's get to some of your questions. And first question is, Coach, in Marquette, Northern Michigan University has joined up with their Youth Hockey Association and all youth hockey teams in Marquette and are called the Junior Wildcats. Not only does that help with the name brand for the college, the youth teams all wear apparel related to the college, so the kids get that name recognition as well when they are out there on the road playing. The other thing is that the college has helped out with the youth hockey in terms of coaches and players helping out with practices and coaching talks to help coaches develop their players. Has this been discussed ever at Michigan Tech with the youth organizations that we have in our area?
It hasn't, but I will say this. I was at both schools when that happened. There's two things for it. First of all, that's initiated by the Hockey Association. The Hockey Association is looking to do that, and the college team, really has nothing to lose. All they have is to gain by doing that, because they, I guess for, if they have a total control of sales and things like that for the merchandise, then they can control that. But the other side of it is with that recognition, that branding, they all feel part of it. It gets people, you know, potentially gets people in the stands. I do believe that all of our, I mean, I've gone to watch a lot of kids, you know, youth games here, and the Copper Country, first of all, that's what you have. You have a Copper Country team, that's made up of the area in a lot of ways, and they do wear the Michigan Tech colors. They, the ones that I've seen, wear the black and gold and things. So, am I right on that?
Right.
Yeah. They all wear the same colors. They just don't go by the Huskies. They go by Portage Lake, I believe is the name. Am I right?
Yeah. It's, well, it's Copper Country Junior Hockey Association.
But the teams, what do they go by? What's the name of the teams?
They all have their specific sponsors on the back.
Okay.
I guess I'm not.
Yeah. So they go by, yeah. So they go by the sponsors, but I know that several of my,
yeah, they go by Portage Lake.
Yeah. With Portage Lake. So they're going by individual sponsors. So they're, and that's another way that the other teams do it. I think if a team is sponsored, you go by the team sponsor, where these other, what they're doing in these other cities is they sell jersey sponsors to get more money individually and go by a standard name. So all they do is put the sponsor, the individual sponsors, that maybe that gives them a more chance of raising revenues as well. So it's always money driven. That would be a decision that I wouldn't make. That would be a decision that it would have to come from minor hockey through Suzanne and see how they wanted to partner, something like that. But again, we have a whole community that's involved, and we do use the same color jerseys and things like that.
Next question for Coach. Coach, you have spoken about some players spending most of the summer preparing for the following year. Can this be required so players are in absolute top condition?
I think our guys are in good condition, and it is required. We do a track A deal with our players where they're all here through track A. That's important. How I believe and how Tyler believes, and this is back to my coach in college, Frank Anzalone, who I think was really innovative in this regards in his time. And I think that was a major reason why we started out originally winning national championships in that first stage of dominance in college hockey. For a small school like Lake Superior, was that Frank really had an understanding of the conditioning part. He really got Russian oriented. He was a big, we used to plyometric till the cows came home. But it's that we break our off season into trimesters. The first trimester is your ability to build strength, to build that strength base. So it's a different workout routine, and that's what we do with track A. Tyler does a great job. He really forces these guys. They come back here, they take a class or two, and they work hard in that first phase, which is your real opportunity to gain strength, because there's a difference between strength and power. Power is your ability to move your mass quickly. Strength is just ultimate strength. And so the first stage of that is a strength phase, and then they transition into a strength power phase, which now is starting to continue to build strength and get that strength moving faster. And then the last trimester of the summer when they come in is the power phase, which is everything's much quicker and you're increasing your fast twitch muscles and things like that. So we do that. And this year we actually had freshmen come in and do that. And Brian Hallinan being one, Trenton Bliss being one, Broachman being one. Those guys come in, you look at how that's paid dividends for us. They're tremendous freshmen for us. That much farther ahead. When they came in, they were already working out. They already knew that stuff. They put that strength base on, and it helped them. So we are doing that. Strength is not our issue, trust me. We're standing toe-to-toe with teams, and you look at our freshmen. They are strong. They're as strong as anybody on our team, and we're going to continue to do that going forward.
Just to reiterate with Ray Bryce, a lot of people are still asking, is he out? He is out for the
year,
right?
Yes, he's out for the year. He's going to see the decide whether the surgery is needed on it to repair it, but they think not, that he'll just have to be casted for 8 weeks or so.
Very good. Next question, Coach. This listener says, I am still kind of new to following hockey, but I thought that contact to the head was a major penalty and a game misconduct automatically. This weekend there was a contact to the head roughing call that was ruled a 2-minute minor after review. Do you know what the difference is between the 2 and 5 minute calls?
They can call it however they want it. It's up to referee discretion. That's up to the quality officials in our league. So,
all right. And the next question is, Coach, well, you kind of already answered this, but Coach, were you happy with Russell's play over the weekend?
I was extremely happy with Marcus Russell's play, and again, he meets our standard. He's in the weight room extra. He's doing the extra things. You know, I sat with a player this week that, you know, is questioning things, and I said, let me ask you this. What do you have to work on? What do you have to work on? And the answer was the answer, and I said, now, what have you done to work on that since the day you walked in here on campus? What have you done? So you're upset with us, and I get that and I understand it. But what have you done to meet the standard? Because practice is the bare minimum of what you're expected to do here. That's the bare minimum. If you need individually to do something to get yourself better, it's our job to point that out to you. which we've done because you clearly know what that is. What have you done individually to make that standard? Because I know what Marcus Russell has done. I know the time that he and Ray Bryce and Tyrell Buckley's doing it, the extra time. And you know, you have Tommy Beretta. He's always working on the things he needs to do. I know what those guys are doing. I see it daily. I see their extra time in the weight room when nobody's watching. What have you done? And Marcus Russell puts in that time. He meets that standard. He puts in the extra time after practice. He does everything he can to be ready without complaining so that he can be the best player he possibly can. And we've been going a lot with guys on projection or on potential. We're losing a ton of games on potential, on what guys are capable of doing versus what they're actually doing. Marcus Russell got in the game and impacted the game in a positive way. How can you be more? I said, all I ask for you guys, if you get a scoring chance, you get a scoring chance. But I want you to provide us momentum. Give us momentum, make us a better team so that we can put you out there. We don't have to hide you. We can put you out there. And they gave us momentum. Poglis was our top guy on the weekend on scoring chances on shooting. He had 4 shots one game, 3 the other. Does TJ Poglis possess more ability than other guys? I'll tell you what, he's got a tremendous heart, extremely strong work ethic. He wins battles. He makes things happen like Ray Bryce does, just on sheer will. Mankato does that with top-end skill guys. They have a standard to work at. They have a guy, Reggie Lutz. He's a tremendous player. We'll be playing for any team in our league, any team in the country regularly. He's the extra forward they're dressing. I mean, the guy's got almost, it was 40 points or something, over 40 points in as a sophomore. And he's their extra guy that they're dressing. 40 points as a sophomore. We have seniors with 40 points and they're playing every shift. That's the standard that we want to get to. That's what we've had in the past. And guys that understand it will get to that. And that's what we have to force. We have to, through positive reinforcement towards rewarding those that deserve it, Marcus Russell, Ray Bryce, TJ Poglis, we have to build and maintain that standard and expectation.
All right. More questions coming up after the break. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see 2 stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish taco starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2018. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. So we brew our beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. Those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. And that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and a crisp, clean taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who live fit, live fun, live ultra. Enjoy responsibly. 2018 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams of protein, and 0 grams of fat for 12 ounces.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Without delay.
Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
When you need to find a part at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Stock up on 5-gallon buckets of CarQuest hydraulic fluid, now only $4.99 each at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet. Offer valid through March 27th. See store for complete details.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We're rolling through your questions today. Let's get to our next question. Coach, what area or areas does Lake Superior State University and Damon Witten's team present as our biggest concern going into the week?
They score goals. Their top end, their seniors are having career years, which is great. They're up at the top of the league in scoring. They have an extremely good power play. They have good goaltending. They have strong defense. I think that I personally believe they're the second best team right now in our league. And on par in a lot of ways with Mankato. I think, they have a tremendous buy-in. They've worked really hard as Michigan Tech did at one point in the past, with a lot of guys who have not had a great deal of success in their career there, and they're feeling that success now. So they've gone through the pain, and they've had to have that buy-in. They're coming out of at the stage where, you know, where Michigan Tech was, you know, back 5, 6, 7 years ago, where they didn't have a ton of success, and then they had it. And these guys are setting the stage for the people that follow them. So I think they're good in every aspect. We thought they were when we played in GLI, like people were acting like we should just go in and beat them at the GLI in the championship game. And we're like, hey, you know, I don't think people realize they're the top ranked team in this tournament. They are the favorite in this tournament. And they were. You saw the way they played us, the way they handled us in the tournament. So, we're on their ice. It's going to be a tough battle, and they are where they deserve to be, and climbing. They're climbing. They're winning. They're climbing. So, we have more than a big task ahead of us.
Next question is, Coach, people are wondering about Keegan Ford and whether or not this is his final year of eligibility with Michigan Tech. Is there anything you can comment on that right now?
He is a senior. We'll decide going forward what that means. I believe he's capable of coming back another year. So we'll sit down with Keegan when the time comes and make decisions on that going forward.
Next question is, Coach, what will it mean to you personally to go back to Sault Ste. Marie as a head coach this week?
It means there's a chance for us to continue to grow as a team. There's points on the table at a critical time of the year. We have to go in there and play against a team that we know is going to be offensively every bit as good as Mankato, that's going to compete hard, that has good goaltending and tremendous defense, and has forwards that transition the puck well and are strong on the puck. So it's going to be we're excited for the battle it's going to present, and the opportunity it's going to give us to grow and there's a lot on the line. There's at this stage, there's a tremendous amount on the line, and we want to follow up a weekend of growth with another weekend of growth.
Let's take a look at, well, first of all, Coach, I know you don't want to probably talk a whole lot about this, but I know a lot of people want to get your take on the five-minute major. I think a lot of the fans didn't like it, obviously, maybe looking through Husky-colored glasses. What were your thoughts on the five? What were your thoughts on the five?
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't called in our way. The rule as it's put in is it doesn't have to be contact to the head. I know that's what they called, and maybe it's questionable whether there was actual contact to the head or not. But the reality of it is that Sheamus lunged at the player, left his feet, made high contact on him, and he was in a vulnerable position. And that's really what the ruling is that if you hit a player in a vulnerable position, that's vulnerable, like you're supposed to hold back on that. And he charged and lunged. His feet, when contact was made, Sheamus's feet weren't on the ice. It was an unintelligent play. It left coverage, vacant on the outside. And, whether it was a 2 minute or a 5 minute didn't really matter because they scored a minute into it. So it was within the 2 minute time frame, but I would have been calling for a major on the other side of it and would have been disappointed had a major not been called. So I have no, now with that said, and go ahead and get me in trouble on it, it was the only penalty on the weekend that I thought was a penalty. The other four that were called against us on the weekend, one of them, the one on Rockwell, where he had his hand on the player's back and reached out when he was on Friday night when he was going towards the net. If the referee didn't see it clearly, could potentially call that, but it happens 100 times in a game. The other ones, you can't find them. So the referees are doing the best they can, but I've said it often, and I've talked to our head of officials on it. We aren't very penalized as it is, and a lot of the penalties, 15-20% of the penalties we have taken this year, you can't find it. When you're watching on video, you're like, how can that be called? So, again, the officials are doing the best they can, but I think a lot of the penalties called against us are game management, trying to keep things close, rather than penalties we actually deserve. Now, saying that, Hallinen could have gotten a penalty, 2 or 5, on Friday night on the hit by their stanchion there on the other side of the ice. So, there are penalties that are missed, but the ones that are actually called, I think are more game management types of penalties, trying to not give an advantage one way or another.
We've got a few more minutes, Coach. Let's talk a little bit about the other games that went on in the WCHA over the weekend. As we talked about Friday night, three overtime games, including Huntsville getting the extra point against Northern Michigan in a 2-2 tie. Northern comes back and wins on Saturday night 6-3. But, again, showing again what Alabama is out there and how good they have become.
Yeah, they compete. Mm-hmm. They're hard to play against. And when their cylinders are firing, they do make some plays with the puck. And they come at you and they compete. They know what they have to do to stay in hockey games. Probably a little bit conversely to us. They have more of a buy-in and we're trying to get that buy-in from all of our players. Our players are still, I think, in a lot of ways, a lot of players are living on the past. They're living on what they're capable of, or what they might, the points and things they may have gotten in the past. And they're not creating those points, now because maybe there are other reasons for why a lot of that came. You know what I'm saying? Like, and where you have, like, Lake State, these guys, Anchorage now is showing, you know, when we played them, you know, they played us tough twice, and then they went and they beat Fairbanks 4-1 on Friday night. Those teams are staying within themselves and realizing, okay, we can't give up a lot, and then let's learn to create. Let's start with not giving up a lot, and let's learn to create. And that's what our focus is as a staff and as a team here. But I think the pushback we've gotten a little bit is we have guys that want us as a staff to be loyal to them because of what they've done in the past. And like my comment to some guys recently has been, okay, let's put things in perspective. Let's look at what our focus has to be. Our focus has to be on the health of the Michigan Tech program, number one, team number one. And let's look at an example of that so you understand the way that we're looking at things. Bill Belichick a year ago says when Garoppolo wants to be a starting quarterback, he's saying, but we're not saying it, but he's not saying the other thing. This is our guy. Maybe it's time for Tom Brady to retire or to move on if we have to choose between the two for the good of the team. Now, we're talking about Tom Brady. Now, maybe part of that was I'm going to let the team know that no one is above the team, including the GOAT, Tom Brady, and let the owner come out and say, we're keeping Tom Brady, so that the players know, hey, listen, with coach, there's no one above it. We're not living on entitlement. You have to do it. And Tom Brady's backed it up. In the 2 years since, they've been to the Super Bowl Finals 1-1. He's backed it up, and he's saying, okay, for your loyalty to me, I'll play till I'm 45 years old, and let's see if Garoppolo plays till he's, you know, for the next 5 years as well. Like, I'm going to play for the next 5 years. Let's see what his career is. So everything's a wash now. You don't know the reasons for it, but the message is the team comes first. And that's been my message to the to our players. Fellas, we're at the stage where we're not gonna entitle anybody. Your past isn't what carries you forward. Your present carries you forward, and that's really the message we want you to send to the other guys on the team, that, hey, I'm not above it, you're not above it, no one's above it. You know, guys want, show me loyalty, because you know I can do it. Well, we know in some ways you've done it. We don't know completely with the team makeup we have right now if you can do it. You know, were you relying on others? You have to show that you can do it. We know in the past, to some degree, you've done it. So, however that happened, our job is end result. So,
well, it should be a great series down in the Sioux. The Huskies taking on Lake State. They have already played a non-conference game in that championship GLI matchup against Lake State. Now the only two conference regular season matchups against Damon Whitten and the Lakers will be on Friday night, 7:07, with 6:30 pregames. Can be heard here on Mix 93. And you guys will leave Thursday morning, Coach? Sometime?
Yeah, we'll leave Thursday and get in there and practice on Thursday. So, we still have them. We still have Northern Michigan. We still have two teams above us with a lot on the table that we can still control our destiny to some degree.
Trying to get that home ice spot, that would be great.
That's our biggest goal.
Outside looking in right now, but as you said, still have everything in front of you, and we're looking forward to it. Thanks, Coach. That's Coach Sean with Joe Schottenauer. Thanks for all of your questions here today, and we'll have the games for you starting at 6:30 with the pregame here on Mix 93 Friday night on Mix 93 WKMJ. Yeah?
Yeah, one thing I want to mention, the atmosphere this weekend, I want everybody to know we felt it.
Yeah.
Like, we felt it. We felt the excitement, and we felt the positiveness, and we truly enjoy and appreciate the support that we had. It helped us play at the level we played at.
Very good, Coach. Thank you.